We're doing Agadot HaTalmud, and we left off last time with the Gemara's discussion of the institutions that the rabbis instituted to commemorate and to lament the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And last time we learned about the prohibition that was instituted about drinking, about listening to music. And now the Gemara continues to discuss another institution that focuses on a custom that was in their day. Listen up, Chatan. In their day, the Chatanim used to wear a crown. Some would wear a crown of gold or silver, and on the crown, they would have engravings. They used to engrave with salt or with sulfur. That's how they made the engravings. And some used to wear crowns from different branches, from rose or hadas, myrtle. They used to have different types of crowns that they wore, and the sages instituted a prohibition of wearing those crowns for Chatanim. So that's our Gemara. The Gemara begins where the Reish Golusa, he was the position of authority like the Nasi. Sometimes he was learning, and sometimes he was an Amoritz. But he was the one who was appointed as head, leader of the Jews in exile. He was appointed, it seems, by the government, not necessarily by the rabbis. But he had a position of authority, and the rabbis had to respect him, because it was like the governor. So he asked Rav Huna, where do we know what's the source for this prohibition for a chatan to wear a crown? And Rav Huna was a great sage, said, you want a source? Really, it's a rabbinic institution. You can't find the source in the Tanakh. The Mishnah says that there was an ordering. When we approached the destruction of the temple, initially there was a siege that Vespasian lay on Jerusalem. And later on, his son Titus, he completely destroyed Jerusalem. But initially, the initial siege was laid by Aspasianus, Vespasian. And when he lay siege on Jerusalem, so the rabbis instituted that in wedding ceremonies inside Jerusalem, the city's under siege, we have to have some sign of the times. So the rabbis instituted that the chatanim, the chatan and the, they don't wear the crowns, and when they sing songs, they won't play music with an instrument that's called an iros. I don't know what that is, but it's some kind of instrument that some kind of rattle, some kind of instrument that made the music even more beautiful. So they instituted that even though a wedding is time when a person is most happy, because it's a difficult time for the Jewish people, they instituted that people have to stop this extreme happiness. The chatanim can no longer wear the crown, and they no longer play with this instrument. Now, it seems from Rav Huna's answer that this institution remained. It's brought in halacha also, that we don't wear gold and silver crowns. So Rav Chisda was sitting there, and just so we have a picture, Rav Chisda was a great sage. He was Rava's father-in-law. And Rav Chisda was a disciple of Rav Huna's. So Rav Chisda knew a source in the verses, but because Rav Huna was present, his Rebbe, he didn't want to say anything. Rav Huna had just said there's no source. The source is only in the Mishnah. So Rav Chisda, who's present, remains silent until Rav Huna gets up to go to the bathroom. When Rav Huna goes to the bathroom, so then Rav Chisda tells the Reish Galuso, who asked the question, he quotes them a verse. He says, the verse says in Ezekiel, in Yecheskel, Ko amar Hashem Elokim, so said Hashem, the omnipotent one, Hasira mitznefet v'arematara. Remove the mitznefet, which is one type of head covering, some kind of turban, and remove the crown. Zot lo zot, hashfala agbeah v'agavah ashpil. Not only this, take the ones who are high and lower them, and the ones that are low, raise them. So what Yecheskel was telling us was that at the time of the destruction of the temple, they will remove the mitznefet, which is the turban that the Kohen Gadol wore, from his head. The temple will be destroyed, and the crown will be removed from the king. So there will be no king, and no Kohen Gadol. We'll have a simple citizen, like Gedalia ben Achikam. He's going to be the one who's going to run the show here in Jerusalem. So this verse, he says, why does the verse begin by telling us remove the turban from the Kohen? It would seem logical, if you're discussing what's going to happen at the destruction of the temple, to stress first, remove the crown from the Kohen Gadol, from the king, and then remove the turban from the Kohen Gadol. So the verse must be alluding to the fact that the crown is going to be removed from the average person, not from the king. And the chatanim can no longer wear the crown on their day of happiness, and that's why the pasuk says that we have to remove the mitznefet, and because we remove the mitznefet, we ultimately remove the atara, which is a reference to the atara of the chatanim. That's how he's going to learn the verse. That atara doesn't refer to the crown of the king, but rather it removes also, it's a reference to the removal of the crown of the chatanim. That's how he explained this verse in Yechezkel. Yeah?
Two questions. It says only for the crown of the chatanim, but that's talking about the crown of the kala.
So that, if you want, on a Thursday night we'll discuss. It's quoted in Halacha. There is a prohibition for kalot as well, but that...
interesting, because there was the discussion on tiara, yes or no. Is tiara also kind of crown?
I don't know what it is, but the Halacha discusses that it depends on what the crown is made out of. So, Bezat Shem, if you want, we'll look it up. Rav Chista is in the middle of explaining all of this. When Rav Huna's come back, and Rav Huna sees them sitting, and he hears Rav Huna explaining how there is a source in the verses. So he tells Rav Huna, I swear, this isn't an institution that has a source, it's a rabbinic institution. The verse is really talking about the crown of Tzidkiyahu, it's talking about the crown of the king. But nonetheless, your name is Chisda, and what you say is like words of chesed, it's nice words, but I don't buy it, he says. It's not right. And Rav Huna stands his ground. So our sages instituted that we should remember the destruction of the temple. The idea is that at the time when we're most happy, a chatan is supposed to be most happy at his wedding. And I want to say something now. There's a lot of confusion today. People hear all kinds of segulot. That you're a chatan and a kala, so now you have to focus to pray about this one, pray about that one, and people will give you names. And you see chatanim walking down to their chuppah, it looks like they're walking down to Yom Kippur. Don't get me wrong, chuppah is a serious thing, but it's also the happiest day of a person's life.
Why are they walking there like...
People walk down, you see them shuckling, and they stand at the chuppah and they're shuckling, and it's a nice thing to daven for people, and it's a good thing to daven for people. It's also important to know that the day you're wedding is a day to be happy, and we're supposed to be happy. Chazal said that there's a certain amount of happiness that we take away to commemorate at this happy occasion the fact that our happiness is not complete. We do not have Jerusalem rebuilt. We do not have the temple. But at the same time, we are supposed to be happy at the wedding. We have to take this institution seriously. One of the things we do is we break a glass under the chuppah, and we do that to commemorate the destruction of the temple. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin writes a scary thing. He says, who knows? Maybe there are couples that they're zivug, they didn't succeed in their marriage because they don't worry at all about commemorating the destruction of the temple. They don't think about mourning for Jerusalem at the time of their happiness. And he says another scary thing. He says, if we only had this sin, that we don't mourn over the destruction of Jerusalem the way we should, that would be enough that we should deserve to be in exile. And he says that's probably the greatest reason why we've been so persecuted here in exile. If you think about it, the persecution that we've endured is scary. Where do you find such a thing? Wherever we go, we're persecuted. So he said he thinks that if there's one big reason for it, it's the fact that we've stopped mourning over Jerusalem. They called Frankfurt the Jerusalem, I don't remember the name, the Jerusalem of Europe, the Jerusalem, something like that. The Jews always viewed the place where they were, they got very attached.
Also in Thessalonica, they called it Madre de Israel, Mother of Israel.
Oh, so he says...
The Jerusalem of the Balkans.
Yeah, actually, so, I about
he says that we've forgotten Jerusalem, and that's why we've been treated as though we're forgotten. That's a midah keneged midah, and that's why things are so difficult for us. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes. So we should merit to commemorate Jerusalem, and as our sages say, that those who mourn over Jerusalem will merit to rejoice with her in her rebuilding. May we see it speedily.